Well, good evening and welcome to our Sunday evening of our annual novena. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In May of 1917, three children were tending their family's flocks in the Portuguese countryside when suddenly they saw a beautiful lady descend from heaven. After talking with her and asking questions, the lady, before departing, asked them to return to the same location at the same time for the next 6 months. Now, those of you who are familiar with this story will know that I'm referring to the approved apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. However, many do not know of the great prelude of this beautiful apparition in which God prepared the souls of the three children to receive and visit the visit and the message of Our Lady. Throughout salvation history, God often prepared his people for the blessings and graces he intended to bestow upon them by sending messengers. The word for angel in the New Testament is angelos, which means messenger. As Pope St. Gregory the Great explained, the word angel denotes a function rather than a nature. Those holy spirits of heaven have indeed always been spirits. They can only be called angels when they deliver some message. In other words, when God sends one of his heavenly spirits, like Gabriel, to deliver a message, we call that spirit a messenger or angel. In the Old Testament, Abraham was visited by three angels who told him his wife would bear a son. Jacob wrestled with an angel guided Tobias. Joshua, Gideon, the parents of Samson. The Old Testament is replete with visits of angel messengers. In the New Testament, the angel messenger that quickly comes to mind would be Gabriel's visit to Mary. Yet the New Testament also records angelic messengers to Zechariah, Joseph, the shepherds, Mary Magdalene and the women at the empty tomb, the apostles, Philip, and Cornelius. In fact, the prophets, St. John the Baptist, the apostles, all were sent to prepare the people so that they would have the dispositions necessary to receive God's grace. At Fatima, an angel who called himself the Angel of Peace visited the three children in 1916, the year before Our Lady, in order to prepare them for what was to come. Now, some of you may know or have heard of the three great Fatima secrets. These secrets were part of Our Lady's message to the children that she told them to not reveal until a particular time. These three visits by the angel, however, are considered by some to be the first great secret of Fatima, because at the time of the apparitions of Our Lady, none of the children mentioned these visits. Only Lucia revealed the angel visits 20 years after they happened. So let's look at them. Okay, the first apparition. In the spring of 1916, the three shepherd children, so Lucia dos Santos, age 10, and her two cousins, Francisco Marto, age 9, and his sister, Jacinta Marto, age 7, were tending their family's flock of sheep near their home at a place called Cabeso. The children ate their lunch and then said the rosary as quickly as possible, saying on each bead only the first two words of the Hail Mary or the Our Father. The children then began to play when a strong wind shook the treetops. They saw a young man, about 14 or 15 years old, whiter than snow, transparent as crystal when the sun shines through it, and of great beauty. Lucia records in her memoirs, "Then the angel spoke, 'Do not be afraid. I am the angel of peace. Pray with me.' Kneeling on the ground, he bowed down until his forehead touched the earth. Led by a supernatural impulse, we did the same and repeated the words which we heard him say, 'My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you.' Having repeated these words three times, he rose and said, 'Pray thus. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplications.'" So what can we learn from this first apparition? First, reverence and prayer. Not everyone can kneel with their heads touching the ground. Yet, we can learn that we need to be reverent when we pray. We need to always remember to whom we are speaking, Almighty God. And this means we should pray with respect for his infinite holiness and majesty, avoiding deliberate distractions, daydreaming, slouching, or any form of laziness or indifference. Second, the prayer the angel taught them, usually referred to as the pardon prayer, becomes a powerful introduction to intercessory prayer for sinners. Praying for the salvation of souls is at the very center of Our Lady of Fatima's message. She would tell the children in August 1917, "Pray, pray very much, and make sacrifices for sinners, for many souls go to hell because there are none to sacrifice themselves and pray for them." When we pray the pardon prayer, we are praying for faith, hope, and charity to be renewed in the world. But we need these virtues in our own day as desperately as they were needed in 1917. If we heed the words of the angel of peace and pray the pardon prayer each day or as often as we feel moved to do so, we have no idea how many souls we brought closer to God. By praying for those who are not praying for themselves, we can hope that God will grant to these souls the graces they need to begin praying on their own. We can trust that Jesus and Mary will always be attentive to this prayer. The second apparition of the angel took place at the height of summer in the same year. The three little shepherds who had tended their flocks in the morning so as to avoid the hot afternoon sun were playing during the siesta hour in the shade of the trees that surrounded the Santos well. Suddenly, the same angel appeared. Lucia writes, "What are you doing?" he asked. "Pray, pray very much. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have designs of mercy on you. Offer prayers and sacrifices constantly to the Most High." "How are we to make sacrifices?" Lucia asked. "Make of everything you can a sacrifice and offer it to God as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended, and the supplication for the conversion of sinners. You will thus draw down peace upon your country. I am its angel guardian, the angel of Portugal. Above all, accept and bear with submission the suffering which the Lord will send you." The angels stressed the need for the children to pray even more than they had been doing. The angel reminded them again that Jesus and Mary had plans for their lives. They needed to develop a strong prayer life to have the courage and generosity to respond to those plans. So let's briefly break down the statement of the angel, for it contains some of the most important and basic elements of the Fatima message. Sacrifices. When the angel said to make of everything you can a sacrifice, He was saying to make use of the many opportunities that come our way during the day to surrender our will, our preference, our desire, our opinion, or our comfort, giving it to God and possibly extending it to another person as an offering of love. We deny ourselves in this way in order to give God a sign of our love for him. Everything we have comes from God's love for us. When we make sacrifices, we tell God we love him for himself, and not only for the good things he does. Reparation. The children are taught to offer their sacrifices to God in reparation for the sins by which he is offended. Reparation is an act of love to God to help make up for someone's failure or refusal to love him. When Christ offered his life on the cross, he was making up for all the sins of mankind by his perfect obedience out of love to the Father. We are invited by Christ to share in his act of reparation by uniting our sufferings and sacrifices with his to atone for the salvation of the world. Not only would these sacrifices make reparation for sins, but they would also obtain the conversion of those who committed those sins. Bearing sufferings humbly. One of the most powerful but difficult graces one can receive from God is to bear patiently, for the love of God, the trials and difficulties that come our way. This grace given by God is usually given to persons who are coming close to God. God allows suffering to purify us from sin, to help us resist temptations, and to strengthen us in the practice of virtue. Sufferings are often God's way of purifying our love, drawing us away from attachments to temporary things of this world so that we can seek after the eternal things of heaven. And then the fruit of peace. The angel told the children that peace would be the result of offering their sacrifices in reparation for sins and for the conversion of sinners. When everything is in right order, my relationship with God, my relationship within myself and with others, then I will have peace. Peace can only come from within, from God, from personal conversion of heart, from right ordering. So from then on, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco began to offer to the Lord all that mortified them. Their favorite sacrifice was to pray for hours on end, kneeling with their foreheads touching the ground and repeating the prayer the angel had taught them. The third apparition of the angel was in the fall of 1916, possibly at the end of September or in October. The three shepherds were grazing their sheep at the cabezo again, so we knew it was in the fall, it was cooler. After the second apparition, the children were very faithful in praying the pardon prayer the angel had taught them. They had been kneeling down with their heads to the ground, praying the prayer. After they had prayed it a number of times, an extraordinary light shone upon them. So when they looked up, they saw the angel. And Lucia writes, "Holding a chalice in his hands with a host above it, from which some drops of blood were falling into the sacred vessel. Leaving the chalice and the host suspended in the air, the angel prostrated on the ground and repeated this prayer three times. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference with which he himself is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. Then rising, he once more took the chalice and host in his hand. He gave the host to me, and to Jacinta and Francisco he gave the contents of the chalice to drink, saying as he did so, "Take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Repair their crimes and console your God." Once again, he prostrated on the ground and repeated with us three times more the same prayer, "Most Holy Trinity," and then disappeared. The angel gave the children a powerful lesson in Eucharistic devotion. This apparition would instill in the children a very ardent devotion to Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Our Lady of Fatima's first appearance in May 13th was at the time the liturgical celebration of Our Lady of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Since heaven's choices are never made randomly, our Lord chose this last apparition to stress the importance of Catholic Eucharistic devotion. The angel held aloft the body and blood of Christ for the children to adore. He himself bowed profoundly before the Lord's Eucharistic presence and taught the children to do the same. Eucharistic adoration and receiving Jesus in Holy Communion, along with attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, are the essential elements of our Catholic devotion to Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. The Angel of Peace taught the children a prayer that focused on the Holy Eucharist. The prayer begins by adoring the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. While saying this prayer, the children worshiped the Most Holy Trinity with great reverence. The prayer then goes on to offer the Eucharistic presence of Jesus in all the tabernacles of the world in reparation for outrages, sacrileges, and indifference. So what exactly is meant by outrages, sacrileges, and indifference? Outrages refer to the serious acts of blasphemy and dishonor in regards to the Holy Eucharist. This can refer to the satanic, profane use of the Eucharist, desecration of the Holy Eucharist by those who vandalize or destroy churches and their tabernacles, or even the blatant disregard of consecrated hosts that are found on floors, pews, or in other areas of churches after Mass. Reparation for these offenses consists of acts of adoration, love, and faith to make up for the dishonor shown to the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. Sacrileges occur when the faithful fail to give the Lord proper honor, especially when receiving him in Holy Communion. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." Catholics must be in the state of grace to receive the Eucharist worthily. One who receives communion while conscious of a mortal sin on his soul would be guilty of the sin of sacrilege. Regular confession helps us to remain in the state of grace so that we would always be ready to receive the Lord worthily. St. John Paul II remarked that it was good to see a lot of people receive Holy Communion, but where were these same people when it came to confession? He was afraid many of them were receiving the sacrament unworthily. The angel's prayer provides a way to offer reparation for those who are receiving unworthily and to pray for their conversion. Acts of indifference include times when we do not show proper respect and care toward our Lord in the Eucharist. Allowing ourselves to be distracted during Mass, talking needlessly in church, dressing inappropriately, or sitting passively through Mass are only some examples. Behaviors such as these reveal a lukewarm heart. They indicate that we need to become more ardent in our love of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. So through the angel's three visits, the children were instructed in the ways of prayer, the importance of reparation, intercession and suffering, and the beauty and power of the Eucharist. Over the course of the next 6 months, the children put into practice all the angel had taught them. They were then ready to receive the first visit of our Blessed Mother. To remind ourselves and our visitors of these important lessons on prayer and Eucharistic reverence and adoration, we have erected on our property a depiction of the third apparition of the angel to Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta. If you follow the sidewalk that leads to our replica of the Fatima Capolina behind our mother house, you will come upon a sidewalk that will take you north to the angel shrine. You can't miss it. Big and white. Okay. We would invite you to visit this shrine at some time when you're here with us. During our public novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, after our first Saturday Mass and devotions, or when you come to participate in our processions in honor of Our Lady of Fatima on May 13th or October 13th. Also, after this talk and during the refreshment time before Holy Hour, the sisters will make available, if you wish, a small booklet that describes the three apparitions, and also a prayer card that contains pardon prayer and the prayer for reparation, if you'd like to take that home. By learning the lessons of the Angel of Peace, may all our prayers and sacrifices make loving reparation to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, help bring souls closer to God, including ourselves, and be a means of bringing peace into our own hearts and our world. May Mary's Heart Immaculate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.